This is American Fashion Podcast. I'm Charles Beckwith here in Florence, Italy, at a school called Palimoda, which is on the Arno River here. And I'm sitting with the director of Palimoda, Danilo Venturi. Can you tell me a little bit about the school?
Yeah. So the school is 33 years old, and it was founded actually in the beginning by FIT, together with Emilio Pucci, who is also the founder of the Maison. And today's president is Ferruccio Ferragamo. And the school has 2,300 students from 70 different countries. So we teach in English, basically. Also Italians study in English. And we are ranked among the first 10 schools in the world, obviously fashion schools, and first in Italy, and we are very proud. And we run courses together with LVMH, Gucci, Richemont, Vogue Italia, WGSN, as well as with the Council of Fashion Designers of America. We have a partnership with them.
Are these undergraduate students? You also have a graduate program?
Yeah.
What are the departments? What do they all do?
Well, actually, you can divide our school into or even four segments. We have courses that belong to the business, courses that belong to the fashion design, courses that belong to the art direction, and to the design management. We don't call them departments, because it's more, you know, teaching areas. And to make it easy, half of the students are business oriented, half are creative oriented, and a half of them is undergraduate, another half is postgraduate, and it's fashion focused. It's only fashion.
And does the school drive employment for the students immediately into the companies that are sponsoring the programs?
Yeah,
usually?
Definitely. We have a career office working 24/7 for that. And once a year, we have an event called Business Links. And it's a moment where companies, human resources are coming directly here. I mean, like when you say Armani, you say Gucci, you say all of them, they come here and they meet our students, so they can see portfolios and CV and their face. And let's say in our undergraduate programs, an internship is mandatory, while for postgraduate is up on the student, because, you know, sometimes they won't just go directly to work. And our placement rate is 91% in 6 months, so it's quite high. If you count that, the 9% left might be, I know, you know, keep on studying, or family business, or, you know, 1 year off, or, yeah, stuff like this. So it's quite high.
That sounds very high. And that's high for Italy. I know I've been traveling in Europe in the last few weeks, and a lot of people complain about the economy, and there aren't a lot of jobs, and there's frustration. So it's great that you're able to accelerate people into the workplace from
yes.
their studies.
Actually, this is our mission, because it's true we are a company somehow, because schools and a private school is also a company. But on the other hand, we are non-profit. And this means that we reinvest everything on our structure, on the didactics, on the facilities, and also in careers. So finding a job is a job.
And I saw you also have some sort of startup accelerator or program?
It's called Palimoda Talent. It's once a year we grant our students a, let's call it scholarship, that includes an amount of cash, a location, like a studio where to work, and a tutorship or a mentorship that is built around their project. So there are winners, and the winners have a project, and we create a sort of course just for them. And then the scholarships are instead not linked to the talent, but to the wealth. So, for example, with LVMH, we just gave 14 scholarships for leather goods. So, and this is also to grant our area the possibility to, you know, renew and refresh the craftsmanship and the abilities and the know-how we have here in this particular area, which is the place where the big groups are usually making their first lines.
So, how has the school changed from 1986? What did it start as? And I mean, everything changes. So what are the major changes since it was founded?
Well, I can tell you, I'm in school since a long time because I was a student before. I mean, I worked already before being a student. Then I attended a master course in luxury management. And then I went back to industry again. And then one day, my former teacher called me for teaching on Friday afternoon, 3 hours. Can you imagine? Students on Friday afternoon, 3 hours with me was so heavy. So heavy. But then I was, I mean, students liked the class. So the dean at that time, Linda Loppa, asked to the teacher to meet me. And I was a very young teacher at that time. And then from that moment, we started creating new programs, new everything. This tells me and tells you a lot about the school. It means that the school has roots. The school has a legacy also with people. But at the same time, it's able to renew itself. And the key for that is the link with the industry. So, for example, our teachers are not academics. Our teachers are all working in the industry or coming from the industry with a big experience or even a short experience sometimes. Because we are used to say the teacher must be, 60 and worked in the industry for 40 years. No, depending what he's teaching, what she's teaching. Sometimes it's good to have a 25 years old teacher. Sometimes it's good to have a 60 years old teacher. You know, also diversity is a new topic we take care of because the more diverse is the program and the people, the more students will go out with a broader point of view and with a broader range of opportunities as well. Because, for example, if you are young students graduating from Polimoda, yeah, of course, if you want to go and work in product management in a company like Gucci, maybe better you know how to do it and the skills and so on. But if you go out and you want to start up a new company with another couple of students, maybe having had to do with the young teacher at that point was much better because that young teacher maybe was running or starting a new company as well. So, you know, it's depending, reflecting anyways, the state of art of the fashion industry is the key. And so if you ask me how the school has changed, I tell you it's changing every day.
Do you bring in new teachers often and are you open to teachers coming from overseas?
Always, yeah, okay. 74% of our students are not Italians and they come from 70 different countries. To be precise, 68. This diversity is also reflected in teachers. So teachers are also coming from abroad, not only Italians. Definitely, then it depends on the topic. Because if you ask me, who are the teachers teaching product management? I tell you, most of them are Italians because they know about productions very well. But then if you tell me who is teaching brand management or communication, they might come from London, New York, or, you know, whatever.
Storytelling is a big part of fashion brands now. It always was, but now it's more important, it seems like. And you yourself, I think, are a creative director, is that right?
Yeah, and brand management as well.
Yeah. So what perspective does that give you that you're able to help the students with?
Well, for what I've seen, two main trends in the fashion business are polarization between production and communication. So what is in the middle is gone. So, and the second is the focus on business rather than design. Well, if you ask me, these two trends, which are long-term trends actually, are basically not sustainable. Because the human nature needs novelty, needs change, needs fantasy, needs creativity. So if you ask me, the next future will be the coming back of fashion design as we used to know it in the 90s, like with fashion designers, proper ones. And then about the second trend, the polarization of production and communication is actually a simplification. It's a bad reaction of the industry to the mass merchandisers. But then it's not working. I mean, you cannot follow mass merchandisers. If you look at some of the big shops, big stores we know in fashion, they are suffering a lot in this moment just because they followed online mass merchandisers in their strategy, and this is wrong because you will never win against them. So you have to diversify your business. And the business of fashion, I think it's about creativity and it's creative industry, and you have to keep on going with that.
Sustainability is a major topic that's been coming up more and more. Can you talk about how that's being integrated into the curriculum?
Well, actually, we give it for granted. We have to do it, we have to do with young people who are 18 when they start. And when we tell them, let's talk about digital, or let's talk about sustainability, I mean, for them, it's quite obvious. It's something that adults like to point and like to visualize, maybe in a specific model called sustainable fashion or something like this. But if you ask our students, this is ridiculous for them. And the same is for e-commerce or digital communication. I mean, majority of their thoughts are already sustainable in their mind, and majority of their actions are already digital. So, as I told you, we are always updated with our program, so these two topics are everywhere. In every single module, you have them. It's integrated, it's not divided.
And are you thinking about fashion and technology more, and the wearable tech, is there training for circuitry and electronics here, or is that something you don't touch on?
No, we do. We do, and we are also ahead in time because we, among our teachers, we also have innovators who are already selling new instruments to the big industry of fashion. Now, I obviously cannot tell you the clients of them, but the ones I said before. And so a bit ahead of time, being aware though that technology is obsolescent. So our focus is on the human. Technology is changing. Videos didn't kill the radio stars, we said before, you know? And same way laser won't kill the 3D. And the 3D won't kill the hands of people. So there's space for everything.
American Fashion Podcast is a bit like a community radio station for the fashion industry. That's what it was intended to be from the start. We do it for you, and we want you involved in the conversation. We all need the fashion industry community to continue the conversation. When we do our interviews each week, this is a beginning. And if it's to do any good, now it has to spread. If you like something someone says here, If some concept resonates with you, let your community and colleagues know. Reach out and share. This is a community thing. We are at AF Pod on Twitter, and on Instagram, we're at American Fashion Show. If you really like an episode, please take a screenshot and tag us so other people can learn about the things we talk about. Not enough people are exposed to these important conversations. We need your help to spread the word. Tell someone or a lot of people about this show, about what we discuss on this show, about ethical practices in our industry. Put a note about something real that we talk about in your newsletter, on your blog, on Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn. If you are a writer, please write reactions to these conversations. And if there is an issue that just burns you up, if we are looking at an issue wrong, please give us a shout. Let's have that discussion. 646-979-8709 is our voicemail line, and info@AmericanFashionPodcast.com is our email address. After this episode ends, we've done what we can, and it's on you to continue the conversation. Can we talk a little bit about circularity?
Well, I think every trend embeds its own opposite. Example, now we tend to not to own anything and to stream contents. But at the same time, vintage and collection is coming back. And you see, it's one of the opposite of the other one, and they live together. And I think it's the same, I don't know your age, but I think you understand what I say. When MP3s came out, well, the MP3s fostered the sales of vinyls, while at that time we had CDs. So it's, you know, every time you have a trend, you also have a counter trend, and maybe you also have the mix of the two.
A lot of the fashion schools moved toward the theoretical and had students touching fabric a lot less. A lot of students come out of fashion schools not knowing how to sew. Is that something that you've had an issue with here that you've had to move back towards, or did you continue to have people touch fabric?
Well, it depends on the course.
Okay.
Majority of our fashion design is about touching fabrics, sewing, doing your own collection and showing it. And for that reason, our design lab is full of machines. It's fully equipped for doing that. Also because, you know, some students, I would say the majority of our students are coming from another city, so they don't live with the family. Maybe they live with other students and they don't have the machinery at home. So we have it in school. And that's why we have free facilities for that. So for us, it's very important students are able to do it. What they think, they must do it, and able to do it in school. Otherwise, we wouldn't do our job, I think.
I arrived in Florence 2 days ago, mm-hmm. and it immediately felt like an artistic city. Things were special. You know, I'd been traveling for a while, and I'd gone through Pisa. Here, it's just different. You know, I walked past a girl carrying a frame for a canvas for a painting with no canvas on it, just down the street smoking, and it feels like a place that's a little bit alive with art. Is that an important part of what students get from the school here, is being in this city? Is the city important? I know it's important within the industry for leather and other things like that.
It's a long story.
Yes.
I try to summarize. For example, the idea of fashion designer, so the idea of having a creator who by hand and with a bunch of friends is doing in a laboratory something creative and putting the name, which is the ancestor of the logo, on a product, so let's say a brand, was born here. When we say Michelangelo, for example, this is the first example of an artist who's put in the name, has a laboratory, has some issues for money and having enough money for doing things. So the idea of fashion design and brand as we conceive it was born here. And at the same time, I would say many categories of product, for example, perfume. Perfume was here, you know, Caterina de' Medici before moving to Paris. And she was very into perfumery. And fashion shows, Sala Bianca here was the first fashion show in Italy, was here. And so there's also an idea of small dimensions for everything. So the laboratory, the idea of having your laboratory and then selling directly along the street, and then maybe you live on the second floor. So this small dimension gives life to the idea of boutique.
The microcosm.
Yeah, the boutique or the shop that we, you know, the specialty store, what you call it in the US. It's, you know, the idea of doing research, doing by hand what you researched, and then selling it with your name as a renaissance is born here. So you smell it. You still smell it. You know that when I come to Florence, when I go out from, I mean, the train, the car, whatever it is, the airplane, I recognize the smell immediately. If you cover me, if you know, if I don't know where I am from the smell, I know I'm Florence. So you smell it. It's a city of art, but believe me, art was the base for fashion.
So with all these artists, how important is also giving them business education and the tools to understand that fashion is a business?
Fashion is a business. It's a creative business though. So you don't sell yogurts or sausages or cars or whatever commodity, but you sell a commodity with a creative quotient. So not a commodity, because what you need, if we talk about needs, is just covering yourself. There's another side in fashion. So the first side is cover yourself, which is protection, and the other side is reproduction, it's seduction, it's convincing the others that you look nice, or convincing yourself before that you're nice. So there's an aspect that is not, necessary for surviving, but it's something that is in your mind, and it's in culture, in different ways, in different cultures. So let's say, again, I think in the end, fashion is a business and students have to study business, but I think design and creativity will come back for what it is. Now, I read here and there that fashion students, designers should know about business. Maybe yes today, but I think in the future we will have again what we had in the past. If you look at the historical figures of fashion, now I'm not mentioning Italians because otherwise I talk only about Italy, but let's take Yves Saint Laurent, for example, and Pierre Berger. So one is the creative, the other one is the businessman. Where is the problem with that? I mean, if you have a businessman, a good one, beside you, you are free to create. And this is a condition for creating freely without the burden of numbers and sales and stuff that is managed by somebody else, so it's much better. Of course, today we have two kinds of fashion design, and we also have and reflect that in our courses in our offer. So you have fashion design, but you have also fashion design management. So one is a pure figure, is the one who is drawing and creating his her own garments and showing them in the end. And then you have another one, fashion design management, where the creation is hybridized with the marketing. So in the end, the figure is more the creative director and less the fashion designer. And the creative director has also a view of what can, you know, have success in the market or how to communicate it and stuff. It's current. It's up to date. It belongs to the spirit of the time today. I think it's not the future.
So you think it's important for any designer who's launching a fashion business to have a business partner, to have someone who minds that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the fashion business has changed a lot recently. It seems to be continuing to change. It's a tumultuous process that seems to be going on. And the students are walking out the door into this. So what do you do to prepare them for an industry that is not stable right now? Everything seems to be changing all the time.
The industry is changing, but it's always the same.
Okay.
Meaning, it's micro-changing, but in the macro and the system as it is, it's always the same.
Well, but I mean, wholesale virtually has gone away for independent designers. They can't get into department stores. At least in the United States, that was the business model, and now it's not.
Well, I think they can go in another way. Like, for example, some department stores, I don't know in the US actually, I'm not sure, but here in Europe, some department stores are directly producing the young designers. So the role has changed of the two figures. So the designer is a bit businessman and the retailer is a producer and not just a seller. But then the real fact in the end is that young designer is making a collection and selling it. So this is what I mean. You can change the form, but the substance is the same. So that's, I think the question is, your question was, how do you face this? Well, I think two moments in education, in fashion education. The first is give the skills, and the skills must be updated. And I think the skills are at the doors. But then you have to give the keys. And the keys is attitude, is understanding of the spirit of the time, is vision of the future. And it's another side of education. I would say in school it's half and half.
Where do you think the next generation of merchants will come from, the people that take the designs and help sell them? Is there a school for that? I haven't seen one. I don't know. It seems like the role of merchant was pushed away in favor of just following the spreadsheets and just following what trends will be. But now those things are so much in flux. It feels like there should be someone who's kind of steering the ship. I don't know. Theoretically, you know.
Yeah, somehow. But again, the world is very, very big and have very different situations, also opposite situations. It's somehow it's the same that happens to fashion designers. And at a certain point, we started saying our fashion designers should know about business. And then we say, oh, merchants shouldn't be only buyers, they should be vendors. And then we say, oh, an airplane must be a submarine. And then, yeah, okay, fine, but you still have a submarine doing the submarine, an airplane doing the airplane, a designer drawing, and another one who is a businessman selling, and the buyer is buying. Then, okay, you can change the form, but this is it.
So you are the author of two kind of important books, and I was wondering if those are going to be updated or you're going to write a new book soon.
So the first one was in Italian, and I hope it's not sold anymore. But it's Luxury Acres. It was written when I was a young teacher, and I was a bit naive, I think. It's still good, but examples are very dated. So, for example, in that book, I was asking, what is going to happen if Steve Jobs is dying?
Oh, well, now we know.
No, and then he died. Yeah. So it's better I don't write anything anymore about anybody. It's bad luck. The second is, I think it's still current. Examples are a bit old because there's a bit of history inside and philosophy, a lot, but there's also a lot of branding. Memento in the Memento. It's a philosophical book. And I have already in mind another one, and I tried to start writing it at least 5 times. So just writing a few pages, and then all of a sudden, you know, when you have a school with 2,300 students and 250 teachers, well, you don't have time to write.
Well, I hope you let us know when it comes out, and we can let our audience know.
I also hope so.
Daniel, very, very
Thank
nice
you.
Talking
Thank
with you.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to American Fashion Podcast, a weekly look under the hood of the fashion business. And yes, the oil is leaking, and yes, it's possible we have no breaks. To get on the guest list for our live events, go to AmericanFashionPodcast.com. and look for the live show's link. Please continue the conversation from the show on social media. On Twitter, we're at AFPOD, and on Instagram, we're at American Fashion Show. And I personally am at Fashion Tech Guru on just about everything. I meet people all the time who are so excited to hear about this show. A lot of people have heard about it, but not everybody, not enough people that know this show exists, and we need your help to spread the word. Please do so. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, there's a Be a Guest form on the AmericanFashionPodcast.com website, but it helps if you've already started a discussion with us through social media. For direct comments, our voicemail line is 646-979-8709, or email us info@AmericanFashionPodcast.com. American Fashion Podcast is produced by Mouth Media Network, which holds the copyright to this and other episodes of the series, all rights reserved. Subsist, friends. Keep making things beautiful. Remain in force. I'm Charles Beckwith, and we'll talk to you again next week.
This is Mouth Media Network, audio for business.